There are a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL draft this year. My name is Ben Solak, and I host the Ringer NFL Draft Show with Danny Kelly, Danny Heifetz, and Greg Horlbeck. We cover trades, free agency, and the draft, which is, obviously. We'll tell you about everything, which includes which quarterbacks are good, which quarterbacks are bad, and which quarterbacks are just Kirk Cousins. That is the Ringer NFL Draft Show. Search the Ringer NFL Draft Show on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Visible Wireless. Want a wireless provider that always brings its A-game? Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. And as if that wasn't already a huge win, you could use promo code RINGER20 to receive $20 off your first month. Just for listening to us talk about basketball. Not bad, right? You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com and use promo code RINGER20 for data management practices and additional terms. Visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
This episode is brought to you by Arby's. Arby's better not catch you slacking on snacking with their new 2 for $5 chicken wraps. And your choice of ranch, barbecue, honey mustard, and a bonus flavor called Incredible Value. You can't taste it, but boy, is it sweet. Arby's 2 for $5 chicken wraps are here for a limited time at participating locations. Visit an Arby's near you or order ahead on the Arby's app. What's poppin'? Logan Murdoch here, Roger Bell there. Friday, real ones. Go to Vibes. Day changed, but we have not. We're going to be doing Fridays throughout the playoffs. A little housekeeping. I was on Bill Simmons' pod yesterday talking Warriors, so no Warriors talked. Go check that out. Then we're gonna talk a little Jontay Porter and talk and preview some series. I don't know which series we're gonna preview necessarily, but the ones that are on the list, we'll pick them out for time. So we'll see what happens.
I just want to be clear. Since you took your ass on Bill Simmons and talked Warriors, I don't get a chance to talk Warriors. Like that's what we're talking about. Like that's the decision that's been made for me. I want to clear this shit up before we get 10 minutes into the pod. And then I guess. Okay,
ladies and gentlemen, this is what we call a manufactured beef, guys. This right here. This is.
It's Friday,
baby. Roger waking up in the morning.
I'm rolling into the weekend. Let's go.
He's locked in. Yo, I know you haven't been locked in on the Drake Kendrick Lamar beef, but there's been a Rick Ross element lately. Just speaking of manufactured beef,
I've been into that one.
That one has been amazing. Speaking of manufactured beef, I've just been seeing clips of just. It's been great. It's just like. It's funny when, like, you don't believe anyone, but the jokes are great. It's great. That's where I'm at.
It's pretty fantastic. I mean, they were comparing, like, mansions. There were shots at
so stupid.
Like, plastic surgery and width of plot of land on Miami Beach. I've seen a lot going back and forth. I would just, these are adults, right?
Allegedly.
Yeah. Allegedly. I'm a fan of both, but I mean, like, it is entertaining, is like... but my dudes.
I just say my broke ass can't relate to, oh man, it's 40,000 square feet, a whole lot. Like, I'm just like, dog, what are we doing right now? Like, what are we doing? Who cares? Anyways, do you want to talk Warriors or do you want to get?
No, listen, man. Sometimes I have to.
Do you have any parting words for the Warriors?
No, I don't. The whole week though, I just want to say the whole week I've been confrontation less. Like it's been a good week for me, right? Like, and that's a weird space for me to be in, especially going into the weekend when I'm going to have a lot of energy, a lot of exchanges with people. So I got to sharpen these knives somewhere, dog. Like, why? I mean, start with you. The fuck.
This is why I don't even believe this. I don't even believe this beef when he said it, just because he's doing it with a smile on his face. Anyways, speaking of beefs. With the league, Jontay Porter has been suspended, has been banned for life after an investigation revealed he had disclosed confidential information to bettors limiting his participation in at least one game while he was with the Raptors and bet on the NBA games while he was in the G League. The NBA said in a release
announcing Porter's ban that his investigation remains open and it is sharing information with the federal authorities. There is nothing more important than protecting the integrity of the game, competition for our fans, our teams, and everyone associated with the sport. That's what that's what NBA Commissioner Adam Silver said. Raja, I just have a lot of questions just and thoughts about this. We briefly talked about it a couple of weeks ago, but from the standpoint of in the locker room and as a teammate, and I know there are a lot of things that we do know and don't know about the lifestyle of an NBA player and nature, but when you see someone that is calling himself out of a game or is in something as nefarious as this, how does that affect the locker room? And if you're a teammate of someone, because all the NBA has or all the team has is the integrity of the game, right? Like, you can't be out here throwing games, not only for the integrity of the league, but also you got to look your teammates in the eye after you done something like that. What is the effect in the locker room when something like this is happening, or is you're seeing the integrity being a little slimy? How do you react to that when you see that as a teammate?
I mean, initially it would probably be just utter disbelief. Like, you can't believe that someone that's been on this kind of quest with you and has been through a training camp and all that that entails physically, emotionally, mentally, in the quest for winning a championship, you couldn't believe that someone that was doing that with you would jeopardize it in the way that he had. I don't have experience with this. This is just me kind of looking at it and trying to put myself in that locker room. So I'd be in disbelief and probably initially just be like, yo, that's really effed up, man. Like, that's crazy on a superficial kind of level for a minute, right? Until it sunk in what we were talking about. And then I'd probably start to replay scenarios, conversations, weird interactions that I thought seemed weird at the time, but didn't give much credence to them. And then try to break those down and see if, like, did this shit really affect me? Because what you're talking about in a locker room is, you know, a bunch of guys at different points in their lives, at different points in their careers, you know, at different points in contracts, all working towards a common goal, which in theory should be to win. And if that happens, everyone should be rewarded because of that. So I then have to look back and try to figure out whether or not, like, what he was doing directly affected my ability to earn a living, to continue earning a living. Did it thwart my opportunities at a bigger payday and free agency? Like, what were the ramifications of some of that shit? Can I remember instances where, like, I've told this story before, when the news broke about Tim Donaghy, I immediately had a flashback to a game in Denver when we were with the Sixers. And I'm sure a lot of my teammates did too, because I've talked to them about that. Like, our immediate reaction was, you guys remember that damn game in Denver?
Yeah.
Like, for no good reason, we were in triple overtime and had scored like 140 points, both teams. It was the weirdest game. It didn't need. So that's what would probably start to happen with his teammates, right? Like, and then you've really, like, that it's an unforgivable act on sacred ground when you start messing with people's careers. And that's where you would ultimately get to. I don't think you'd have that visceral reaction at first, but after parsing it out and kind of sitting there and reflecting, that's where you get to with that. Like, this MF, or like, he really jeopardized my career, my ability to feed my family. I've worked my whole life for this, and this dude is out here deciding because he got a couple dollars on the game that it means more to him on this funky little bet to swing it potentially in one way or the other, or to provide information to someone. You know, like, that. Once you get in that rabbit hole, I mean, you could go anywhere with that.
Yeah, and that's why the league ultimately had to ban him for life, right? They had to send this message, especially in light of the league's relationship with gambling. I mean, you know, full transparency, we're sponsored by a gambling company, right? Like, this is kind of what is floating the industry at this point. It just is what it is. But with that being said, the integrity has to be at an even more utmost for players and people involved with the league with this. I guess my question to you is, in this new era that we're in, how more cognizant do you have to be as a player when you're navigating this type of life, right? Where, I mean, it's kind of an unknown world. The influx of cash is what it is, but, you know, gambling, like a lot of other things, are, you know, it's going to be there. How do you navigate that? Because there's a lot of stuff that NBA players have to navigate in this world to compartmentalize to get to the successes that you guys get to. In this case, how do you navigate this? Just even as a player, there's a temptation all the time, but specifically this one that you see every day that's in your face. Not only are, you know, it's on your phone, but, like, you know, people are hitting you on the socials. People are, you know, it's just, it's like, yeah, anything. It's just another element that you have to face in terms of temptation as a player.
Yeah. Gambling and professional sports are married, right? And in one arena of life, completely compatible, and they go together like peanut butter and jelly, right? Like, it's just, it works. We gamble. The people love to consume it that way. It adds an element to your fandom, and you can, you know, get the thrill of gambling. On the other hand, they have no business being that close together. They don't, because if lines should be crossed, then you're dealing with the integrity of a game that should be like a pure meritocracy. Like, that's what sports are really about, right? Like,
what makes them special.
Right. So it's a really weird dynamic. And what I would say, and I've said this before, is kind of what I say to my kids. If you are hopeful that one day you would get to do what you're doing and live your dream on a bigger scale, Division I college potentially, or who knows what happens after that. If you think that's possible, not a guarantee, mind you, but if you think that's possible, don't even start gambling. Don't start. Like, don't start with the books. Don't start gambling on the sports. Like, I'm not a hypocrite. I'll go into the casino and roll some dice or play some blackjack or something like that for fun to pass some time. But don't get caught up in it. I've shared this before. I had my son call me from school one day. It was the most alarmed I've been when he told me something. And it revolved around picking NBA players in some sort of parlay. And I was immediately just really, really concerned in a way that you'd be like if they were calling you from school telling you something had happened to your child. And I was just so concerned for him, because that is a slippery slope. Once you start that, there are any number of places you can wind up. And for him, it wasn't specifically, you know, for him, it was more along the lines of, look, man, you don't got no bread. If you're gambling, no, this is what happened. I mean, you look at anyone who has been accused and convicted of throwing games, and it all starts the same way. You owe someone some money.
Yeah.
You can't pay them the money. And their answer to it is, here's what you can do. And it doesn't seem like a lot to you, probably, when you're an 18, 19-year-old. Like, it probably wouldn't have seemed like a lot to me.
Yeah.
So I mean,
if you look
that.
At Jontay Porter, like, he wasn't a high paid player, right? He was a G leaguer, I believe, going into the league. Like, in totality, he wasn't even a vet minimum guy or a mid level exception guy, right? Like, he was a guy trying to get into the league.
Right. So, but that's how serious I see this as a thing for younger athletes. Do not even dip your toe into the water on regularly betting. NBA, NFL, MLB, don't do it. And you'll say, well, that's not my sport. Well, eventually it all kind of looks the same, right? Because it becomes sickness, Logan, is what we're talking about, right? Not unlike, you know, not unlike alcoholism or drug addiction or shit like that. People can't stop.
Yeah.
It's not even about the money. It's not about like whether you're going to get rich or not doing it. They can't stop doing it. It's the thrill of it. Yeah. So I would suggest don't do it. Then we've had this, you know, my second suggestion would be if that's not plausible, if you're not, if that's not within the realm of possibilities for you because of upbringing or what have you, never, ever, ever, ever bet on the sport you play. Whether it be, if you're in high school, don't bet on professional football. If you're a high school football player, don't bet on college. Don't do it. Not within the, not within that silo of your sport. Stay out of that. Yeah. But you're already in deep water.
In your mind, why did Silver have to do this?
He can't, there can be no question. I mean, there can be no question about the integrity of his product. Anything that jeopardizes that, you have to cut it off immediately. It cannot infect the rest of your league. And, you know, we can sit here on this side of the microphone and wonder at times about weird calls and refs and, you know, somebody gets a call and somebody doesn't. Yeah, we could do all of that, man. But, like, that's happened forever and that will happen forever. You have someone betting on games that's in locker rooms that is giving out sensitive information to third parties so that they can have successful bets and whatnot. We've got a problem. We don't know how far that problem can spread and how quickly it's got to get cut off.
Yeah, no. I mean, Silver said as much in his presser, and it makes sense. It's going to be something to definitely look at in the next few weeks or in the next few years. You know, as this relationship between, you know, gambling and sports just continues to blossom, right? Like, we're going to have to see how this goes.
Boys got to be like, come on, man. You know, I just sat here and said that at 18 or 19 years old, I might not have seen the lines as clearly as I do now. And I'm not sitting here portraying myself as the most together or with it 19 years old. I knew better than that shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Wild. Like at 21, I knew better than that. Yeah. Like some you tripping out.
For sure. All right, man. Let's get into some playoffs. Let's get into some playoff previews. Let's start with we got Cliff here, who's our producer for the day. He is from Philly, so we're gonna start with Sixers Knicks. On how we see that going. It was funny because I came into the podcast 5 minutes late today, and I thought on the call, newsflash, you weren't. And so me and Cliff got to talking about. He asked me a question. Is there a way to come on? And he's like, "Yo, man, what's gonna happen with Sixers?" Sixers Knicks, and I pretty much just got stuck. I was just like, yo, I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. I think inherently I just said, just because of the top seed, yeah, Knicks at six. And then when I said that, I really didn't know. Like, I really wasn't locked. I really was like, am I sure that's gonna happen? You know, the injuries that the Knicks have with Joel Embiid back in the fold, even though I don't know if he's as healthy as he should be, but like, this is going to be a really competitive 7-2 series.
Yeah.
I still don't know. Let's talk this through. What are you thinking?
Could be. So coming into the playoffs, I had the Sixers as a threat to Boston in the Eastern Conference. If and only if Joel Embiid looked like himself, which I expected him to. He did not the other night. He looked like he was dragging his leg up and down the court at times against the Heat. What I don't know is if that is purely conditioning because he had been out so long, or if it's, you know, he's not a full 100% healthy. I would lean towards the latter, just with my eyeballs watching the game the other night. And if that's the case, then I don't think that they are a threat in any way, shape, or form to Boston. But as it relates to their first round matchup with the Knicks, it then does become interesting, right? Because the Knicks, I've said this before, I think consistently play harder and play you harder than anybody in the NBA on a night-to-night basis. I believe that. I watch that. Tibbs' track record suggests that. Analytically speaking, their team stats suggest that. Offensively, though, even though they kind of flow better without Julius Randle, and that's crazy too, because as good as he is, I think that it flows better in terms of like it lets Jalen just do what he does and then everybody else kind of works off of that. If he isn't producing like that on a night-to-night basis, I don't know that they can get enough stops, even with Joel Embiid being hobbled.
Yeah.
So this is an interesting one. I think I lean towards the Knicks because Joel did not look good. And if it's a knee issue, if it's a knee health issue and not a conditioning issue, I don't think that gets better. I think that gets worse.
Yeah.
Over the course of a series.
And ultimately, like, I've seen enough of Maxey, really, really good player. I don't know if he's at the tier that can just say, nah, give me the ball, I'll win the series myself. Like, I don't see that in him. We'll see if he has that in his career. I don't see that at this stage of his career. I've seen enough of him to know that, or to at least make that really detailed assumption. But I don't. That's why I think I would lean Knicks right now. I mean, just because of how hobbled Joel has been. But I could see this going seven games. You know, I could. It's one of those types of series where there could just be so many different types of. I mean. I got to say, just seeing Cliff for the last like two episodes. Remember, he's done an episode in the past. I know he's going to go through it. I know it's going to be an emotional roller coaster for that man. So I'm praying for you, Cliff. Let's go. You know what? I'm gonna just say let's do a prediction. I'm gonna do Knicks in seven. How does that sound? What do you think? Is that where you're leaning to?
Yeah, I think that's a tough one, man. I think because I really don't know. I'm just guessing. I would have to see how Joel looks like because it completely changes if this man comes out and what he looked like against the Heat was more about his game shape than it was about that knee. So if he comes back and he's flowing against the Knicks, then I would take the Sixers.
Well, he was set, Embiid after the game said, hopefully every day it gets better. We'll just keep monitoring it.
Then I'm taking the Knicks in six.
Yeah, there we go. All right. Bucks-Pacers, 3-6 matchup. The Bucks are 1-4 against the Pacers this season. That is with Giannis Antetokounmpo in the lineup. But Giannis is expected to miss anywhere between 2 to 4 weeks with a calf strain, which is tough. Is this primed for a lower seed upset, Rajah Bell?
Yeah,
I vote yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Good vote. And as certain as I am saying it, that's how certain Milwaukee will probably roll them Giannis-less. But they weren't good against the Bucks with Giannis this year. The Bucks struggled with that pace and style of play, even with Giannis in the lineup. We always go back at the start of every season, we talk about what can derail championships. And I know people think it's corny and don't want to hear it. Like the number one thing is injury, right? And with our first two series with two teams that should be contenders, all of it is predicated on or revolves around the health of their star, right? And so Giannis, I told you about that calf injury in terms of like that. That's not a week and a half injury. That's not what that is. So I would expect that they'd be without him for at least 2 to 3 games of this series. I think the Bucks roll them. The Pacers roll them. I think the pace is going to be too much. I think even if Giannis comes back, you want him to be in a game where he can lumber up and down the court and walk himself up the court to get in offensive sets on a still probably slightly injured calf and not being in shape. Playing the Pacers does not afford you the opportunity to do that. So I think it's a bad set of circumstances all the way around.
Yeah, like it's also excuse me. There's been bad juju already with the Bucks with Giannis in the lineup. And to your point about that, I don't see at this stage right now, and this might be on my worst takes in a couple of months, but I just don't see with this iteration of the Bucks, even with or without Giannis, like I just don't see. I don't see, and it's tough for me to say it. I'm really struggling to say this because he's my town brother. But I don't see like Dame being able to carry this at this point just by himself. I don't see it. And it's been You know, kind of like we talk about this a lot on this podcast where when teams just tell you who they are all season, you got to believe them. And I'm just starting to believe what the Bucks are, what they keep telling me they are. You know, like they're a team that has a lot of talent, but a lot of things just haven't gone right for them this season for whatever reason, right? I think they're about to meet their maker in this Pacers series. I just do.
Yeah, I mean, but they're also a team, they've told you they're number three in the East.
Yeah, with 49 wins.
Yeah, I know, but they're playing number seven. I hear you. I'm just conflicted, but I believe you, and I'm on your side, though, 100%, right? Playing devil's advocate, but like I would just say this again about Dame carrying a team. I still think Dame could potentially carry a team. It's going to be a lot harder than it was a few years ago, for sure, but he hasn't been asked to do that all season. The pace of the Pacers, no pun intended, sorry, but the speed with which they play makes it that much harder for a singular player to carry his team to a win against them. Because you have to score an incredible amount of points on a nightly basis as the primary scorer. And
who's
the
secondary?
Team.
Who's the secondary? That's what I'm saying. Bucks team, right? Like Chris Middleton's not that guy anymore.
Yeah, you're not gonna. I don't think that's a. It's just a bad set of circumstances, I think, for the Bucks.
Hey, it's gonna be popping in Indianapolis, though. What a year for Indianapolis! Just a lot of things going. All star. You might get a little. You got a play-in berth, right? Yep. You
Caitlin might get a. In the you draft. Might get
a. Yeah, and you might not even. This is also like. You're playing with house money for the next 2-3 years. Like, ain't nobody thinking about you right now. But if you do win if you win a series this year, if you beat the Bucks, there's going to be expectations next year. But, like, fuck it. Let's see how far we can take this in the Eastern Conference, right?
I thought you meant for Indiana as a city, but I feel that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What did you think I was saying?
Well, because I said Caitlin in the draft, right? Like, I'm talking about Indiana sports.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
You got shout Anthony out to Richardson in the draft. Like, but you're talking about specifically the Pacers, and I would agree.
Yeah, I mean, you know, shout out to Caitlin Clark. Shout out to I'm not going to shout out the Indianapolis Colts.
Come on, AR-15, bro. He's going to be we're back next year, baby.
We're back? I thought.
Yeah, I don't even know. I do not.
What
like,
the hell was that? No, you know, Jesus, come on, bro. You know who's a Colts fan?
No,
Jomie Jome, who has a pack watch today.
Really,
Jomie. But you know what it is? It's that LA shit. Because you know they didn't have no team. Up until for like when we were growing up, like people just picked teams like this random like. I covered Nick Young; he was like a Chicago Bears fan. I'm like, bro,
it's so random.
Yeah. Anyways, this is another series. I just do not have. This is a series I just do not have a feel for. Cavs Magic. That's just nuts. Wait, let's do that. Let's. Who's your pick for Bucks? Bucks. Pacers. I think I'm gonna go Pacers and six.
Pacers and six. I'll double down on that.
All right, we're just taking a shot in the dark. We're not even gonna give analysis to this series. This is the NBA TV series. Shout out to the Magic for getting to the fifth seed. Like that was this really great accomplishment.
You called it the NBA TV series.
It's the NBA TV series. Have you ever played in an NBA TV series? Have you ever done that?
Come on, bro. Don't try me like that.
Okay, I'm just asking.
Yeah, of course we did. Of course we did. I shouldn't say that. Yeah, we did. We played in my last year going to the playoffs with the Jazz. We were lambs to the slaughter playing the Spurs. We got swept in that. I have to imagine that was an NBA TV series.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, dog. Yeah. That definitely. Yeah. So this, you know, we're gonna play that again. All the thing you could think about with the Cavs is. Are these the last games of Donovan Mitchell? Like I don't have anything other than that. Shout out to the Magic. Let's just pick a pick, man. Let's not even like kid ourselves. Take a shot in the dark. I like the Magic the couple games that I've watched them. I'm gonna go with the Magic in six.
Mm.
Why not?
I like that. A lot less conviction than the other ones, but I like it nonetheless. I'm gonna go with Cavs in seven.
Okay.
And I think the reason why is because Orlando, it can be very hard for them to score. They're really good defensively. They'll lock you down. You know, they have one bona fide score, like Paolo is a bucket, but I think ultimately the Cavs have a lot of people can get them off the hook on a nightly basis, or more at least than Orlando. So I'll take the Cavs in seven.
And also there's the notion of like, I mean, it's a different game in the postseason, as you know. And like a young team like the Mavericks, the first time there, that gives credence to it. I'll probably watch this just as much. I'm not wavering it, but I'll probably watch it just as much of this series as you will.
Yep. Well, you caught me off guard with that one. Okay. Well, all right.
All right, let's take a quick break. Preview some more playoff series. This NBA playoffs, FanDuel is giving all customers two chances to bring home a big win with a no-sweat same-game parlay every weekend of the playoffs. Just place an SBG or any other playoff matchup, and you'll get bonus bets back if you don't win. Bet on everything from rebounds to assists to three-pointers and more. Let's take a look at the slate. I think I'm going to take the over on Kings-Pelicans. Big surprise there. I think I'm going to take the under on Heat-Bulls. And FanDuel is now live in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Visit FanDuel.com/RingerNBA and shoot your shot on America's number one sportsbook, FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 years and older, 18 and older in D.C., and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit RGHelp.com. Opt-in required. Minimum three-leg parlay required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com.
What's up, real ones? It's Jomie again, Logan Roger. You know what time of the year it is. It's Pack Watch time, and it's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. That's right, fellas. Golden State Warriors, they're gone. They're light years ahead. Light years ahead of everybody on the way to Cabo, brother. It's cooked. Listen, normally, you know, I want to feel bad for them. You know, Steph, one of the greatest we've ever seen. It wasn't happening for them in that Kings game, brother. Clay, whoo. The last time I saw that many Clay bricks, I was at the Home Depot, okay? It was tough. You hate to see it happen to a guy like that. You know, you don't hate to see it happen to Draymond. You know, it is what it is. The Warriors, they might be donezo, fellas. You know, they got the 2 years left on the Steph deal and the Kerr deal. The Warriors fans in the spaces are going crazy. They were telling Nick Wright that they know more about the team than the basketball president of operations, the GM, everybody in the building. They were saying they know more about the Warriors basketball than the people who work at the team do. They're going out sad. The Warriors are going out sad. But hey, let's not forget, the last Western Conference team to beat Clay, Steph, and Dre in the playoff series since 2014. Your Los Angeles Lakers. I just had to put that in there. Goodbye, Warriors. We hardly knew you. Actually, we knew you for too long. And it's nice that you're out to pasture.
And we are back. I'm just going to say the Celtics are going to sweep whoever they get with the Bucks or the Heat. Let's just get that out of the way, right?
Yep. Yeah.
This five, is a fun one.
Not five? You don't want to go five? Just a little bit of wiggle room for yourself? You like the sweep?
I mean, I would just say this about the Celtics, man. The Celtics, this is just beat whoever is in front of you. Just beat the shit out of them first round. There's no don't play with your food, none of that. Go get in, get out. Bong, you know, like you guys have bigger fish to fry. Don't be fucking around with these eighth seeds, dude. That's all. Like
classic
that's
classic
really...
Celtics to come out and drop game one, bro.
Wouldn't it though?
Like just sweep. I mean, go four in a row after that, but just come out and just fucking not
also
be
bullshit,
game one.
Right? Yeah. Raja, are you confident in the Celtics team? Because I need to see it to believe it. Like I know they had the 64 games. I know they're far and ahead the best team in the league, but like. None of that shit matters right now. This is the postseason, and I know what I've seen in the postseason from the Celtics the last few years. It's kind of prove it for me right now. Like, I'm not
How do you feel about the Celtics?
I'm confident. I'm confident in them. The only caveat to that would have been if Joel came back and looked fantastic. If he looked if he looked like they did early in the season, I think I could convince myself to tell you that I'm not confident in them. But right now, I think the landscape of that East, I think they're good money.
As the landscape of the East is ass, is what it is. I'm all on this Friday. I'm all on. I'm just looking right now, dog. Like I'm trying to like if the Pacers get through the Bucks, maybe. No, it's not happening.
No.
Not gonna happen. The Bucks, if they get through, I mean, the only other one, if playing devil's advocate, is if Giannis comes back. And but then again, like I've seen what I've seen from the Bucks. There's no way I believe them to beat the Celtics.
Number one, yeah, you already, like you just said, that the Bucks are who they've been all year, right? So that would suggest they can't beat the Celtics. But I would just say again, that's not an injury that you come back off of in a couple weeks and you're like, hey, I'm good. That's not how that works.
No, I covered KD his last year in Golden State, the same thing, right? Like just a tricky injury. Like he got so much rest after that one. I think he got the injury like in the second round. Didn't come back till game five of the NBA Finals. What's that like? That's almost like a month, right? So, still tore his Achilles. You don't want to fuck around with them calf injuries, dog. Period. Don't ever want to fuck around with those.
That thing took me months to rehab. Hear me. Like I played on it when I shouldn't have, so I made mine worse. But it went all the way almost until training camp the next year.
Damn. Well, see what happens. Let's talk Nuggets Lakers. It's gonna be open and shut. I realize that the Lakers are talking like they're getting their shit off. Like I understand. I don't know if you saw, but Anthony Davis said something along the lines like, I heard you guys talking during the parade. Me and Bron did some talking too. And I'm like, okay, man. All right. Like, there's no way the Lakers win this series, right? Tough. It's tough.
It would be tough. Look, they've had very little to no success against the Nuggets in the last, what, year and a half?
Like, yeah.
It's just been ugly. Having said that, I'm torn. I think I go with Denver in six. But those weren't. Like, I'm thinking back to the playoff series last year. Those were dogfights.
Yeah.
Those were absolute dogfights. And Jokic was doing Jokic things. And Jamal Murray, who one of my favorites, was playing incredibly. I expect both of them to do that. So then I'm Anthony Davis and LeBron. And the wild card in the series for me is going to be D'Angelo Russell. Who's been, like, in fairness,
amazing.
My bad, Playboy. I apologize. Now, I still don't believe him to be a true number two, but
I don't know. It's not that, but he's not though. The thing, and that's a good thing. He's in the perfect role for himself. Like I love watching D'Angelo Russell on this team
and cooking, and good for you, and good for the Lakers. So him, Austin Reeves, Rui, like that's the wild card for me, right? So that supporting cast, who gets it more, the Lakers or the Nuggets? And there's a world in which I'm saying I like the Lakers supporting cast better. That's crazy. That's like blasphemous. But I'm telling you, there's a world. I'm going to take the Nuggets in six because, I mean, to your point, like sometimes you got to believe what people show you they are, right? Like I'm going to go with the Nuggets. But man, like I mean,
the Nuggets have been like Debo on the Lakers, and not like Debo towards the end of the movie, like Debo, like the opening scene, you know, or like when he did, you know, the Nuggets are that's my bike, punk Debo. That's the part of the movie that they are just consistently against the Lakers. We're gonna go Nuggets and six. We're gonna go Nuggets and six.
Nuggets are six.
All right.
Yo, these Friday shows are going to be bananas, bro. Oh, these Friday shows are going to be sick.
Yeah.
Anyways, Timberwolves Suns.
Yeah.
Which is going to be interesting. Timberwolves are 0-3 against the Suns. Is this the series that we're primed for an upset in the Western Conference? Because I'm going to be honest with you. I don't trust the Timberwolves, bro. I do not trust them. I don't care if Cat is healthy or fully healthy. They're, if you think about, you know, we talk to both a lot of people in the league between us. There is not one iota level of fear of the Timberwolves league-wide. Everybody's been trying to get to the Timberwolves. Everybody's been trying to get to that sixth seed, or if they were in the two seed a couple weeks ago, trying to get to that seventh seed. Everybody's been trying to play the Timberwolves. And it has nothing to do with Anthony Edwards. We love Anthony Edwards. Not him. It's just the rest of that supporting cast that no one trusts. Do you trust, Raja, the scoring capabilities of the Suns over the Timberwolves, who just a really big team, right? Like, just that's another, that's I think the other thing that is on the Timberwolves side, because when I see your Suns, I see a lack of depth in that front court. And what you don't want to happen is Nurkic getting in foul trouble and you're in a position where you got to put Kevin Durant on a big, because that's not going to work out well. Where do you see this going? Does this have upset potential here?
Yeah. This is I've been trying to told y'all, man. I've been trying to told y'all all year. I've been trying to told y'all that this is scary when you get three scorers like KD, Book, and Bradley Beal in a playoff series. It's scary. And it doesn't sound that way because you go tell me, oh, defense is like, and then they're not. They're just slightly above middle of the pack in terms of defensive efficiency. And I'm not saying they're winning a championship, but the answer to your question is, yes, I think they could beat the T-Wolves in this series. Styles make fights. The T-Wolves have not had a lot of success with Phoenix's style. Anthony Edwards specifically, as great as he is, and I think everyone knows how big of fans we are, he's really struggled against them. There are a lot of fires to put out there if they're all cooking. There's a lot of action. There's a lot of potential to get your bigs out in space, which has been an Achilles heel of Rudy's and the T-Wolves in playoffs. You talk about it all the time. Like, there are a lot of guys that can get after you in ways defensively that even good defensive teams will struggle with. And, you know, I don't know. Like, I you would have more insight than me into teams wanting to play Minnesota and not having faith in them. I'm not sitting here telling you I don't have faith in Minnesota. I think a lot of teams fall into that category on their ascension to where they're ultimately going to be until they prove otherwise, right? Like, we just haven't seen you do it yet. You got to get over the hump. And I think they're fully capable. I think this Phoenix team is unique in that they have that level of scoring potential that could put you in.
Are you going to put your prediction where you're
in a precarious situation? You want a little filler though, right? It's a Friday.
You sound like you're about to pick the Phoenix Suns. That's all.
I'm taking the Suns to do it, dog. Like, I am. I think I don't. I like. I'm not.
How many games? How many games?
Six. Take the Suns in six. I've been trying to told you. I just said. All right, I've been saying this. I've been trying to say this from the beginning. I'm not going to back down now. They can be a problem. First, not everyone. I'm not going to pick them to win a chip. I think they get Minnesota.
Then I'm going to see what side of the bracket they're on.
Yeah, they got it's the Nuggets next round, right?
Oh, well, yeah, they're not winning the championship. They're on the wrong side of the bracket. But
I think, right? I'm looking
yep,
at it now.
Yep. Yeah. No, they played the Nuggets. I'm gonna go with the Suns. I'm gonna go with the Suns.
Okay.
I'm doing it. You convinced me. I'm gonna listen to the NBA player here. I'm gonna go with the Suns. Shout out Sky Harbor. Shout out to Crescent Ballroom with the best steak tacos in the league.
Oh.
You know the motherfucking vibes. I've been telling people about Crescent Ballroom. Everybody, pull up. Nice little vibe. Anyways. What, bro? What did I do? It's Friday.
I like Friday. I like Friday, Logan.
Friday real ones. You know what I mean? A little late, but we always on time. On Friday,
and don't
real
those,
just lit.
Hey, don't and both they, those teams like they got a little history. They beef a little bit too, don't they? Weren't they chirping the other night? Like Brad Beal and Anthony Edwards, they were getting after it. Yeah, it should be a fun one.
Get it. You know what else could be a fun one? This next series. Clippers Mavs.
Hey, timeout.
I'm very.
I was gonna do this off the top.
Okay.
But you got really when posing the question to me, you got pretty long winded, so I couldn't get back to it. But I just want to give you your flowers, dude. All right. When we first started, your transition game was just really green, right? Like we had never really done this before, right? You were like a young rook coming into the game full of energy, not knowing the nuances of pick and roll. And look at you now, bro. Perfect spacing. Just waiting. Transition game cold, bro. Happy Friday, my boy.
Love you, Ra. It's crazy because we did. I got a preface this to our listening audience. We didn't know what the fuck we were doing when we first started this podcast.
It was like, here's your mic, here's your recorder, and go.
Here's this person you've never met before. Here, go talk for an hour. Anyways. Clippers Mavericks, where you know there's death taxes and Kawhi questionable for game one with a knee injury. This is going to be an interesting, and in that like these talk about bad blood. These two teams scrapping for years now. They have already have a series under their belt a few years ago during the pandemic in the bubble. Clippers ultimately won, I believe, in seven. Right now, you have the Clippers reeling. Probably one of the most disappointing teams post All-Star break against the hottest team in the league. You have the history of Kawhi's injury, which you don't know if he's going to even play game one. And then you have James Harden, and we know what he's been in the playoffs. You also know Paul George, historically, what he's been in the playoffs. And then, you know, you have Russ, who's at this stage of his career where he's not expected to lead. He's good in his role, but not expected to lead teams to postseason play. And I got the Mavericks, man, with that offensive firepower, Kyrie and Luka. We could get into it. I think I'm leaning Dallas, though, Ross. I'm leaning Dallas in the series.
Yeah, it's a good lean. I'm going Dallas too. I think it's the best supporting cast that Luka's had so far. They've been playing great. They've been able to conjure up some level of defense that's given them a chance. In my eye, that they didn't have before they were able to make those kind of personnel changes. Just playing right at the right time for me. And the Clippers, I want to be fair because I think that in a series, Ty Lue is one of the top three dudes in the league to let him dig into what you want to do and give him ample time to try to take that away. He's one of the top three dudes in the league at being able to do that. I firmly believe that. So with the level of talent that they have and those capabilities from the top seat, I give them a shot. But I'm with you in that I don't – something's a little off. Kawhi and what that is in terms of health and uncertainty. I'm going with Dallas. I like Dallas. I've told you I thought Dallas is a team that is also very scary, kind of like the Suns, but probably with more teeth. in terms of, you know, just defensively and stuff like that, I think. But, yeah, I'm going to go with Dallas.
I think I'm going to go. I mean, I'm fully convinced about Dallas right now. I think that they, I'm looking at the bracket right now. They are also on the right side of the bracket. If they beat Dallas, they have the winner of OKC and either New Orleans or Sacramento. Who knows yet? We don't know that one. We'll talk about OKC in a bit before we wrap up. But they have that. The winner of that series, I definitely could see them. You know, they played well against Oklahoma City this year, and then this could be a stealth Western Conference Finals run. That in perfect Mavericks fashion, you're like, how the hell did that happen? But like, this team is fun to watch, right? So I'm gonna go with Dallas, and I think that they can go deep into the playoffs. I just love Luka. I've watched him play a little bit this season. Obviously love Luka. Also love the offensive firepower with him and Kyrie, and also they're playing together in a great way. The Mavericks are, and I've seen a little bit of the Clippers. Do not like what I see post All-Star break. I'm gonna go with the Dallas Mavericks in six, and even if it went seven, definitely trust Luka and them to get a road playoff win in Crypto.com Arena, which we know how Clipper games are in the postseason. You played in a Clipper postseason game, didn't you guys beat the Clippers?
We beat the Clippers in seven, I think. Yeah, seven.
Yo, what a time for you guys, because you guys got to spend like 2 months in LA.
Yeah, I was great. It was. I mean,
you had a big shot against the Clippers that series, didn't you?
I'd like to say I hit a few big shots, but I did hit a big shot.
I did hit a big shot
in that series. I hit a few shots, but it was a big shot. Sent us into overtime. I think we were supposed to lose that game at home. Was it game five? Maybe that would have been a really tough pill to swallow. So, but look, the Clippers fans need to get credit for what they turn into when they're good and they're in the playoff runs. Like, they get it popping. That was a fun place to play.
Okay. All right. OKC doesn't have an opponent just yet. We'll find out tonight. Who do you have on the play-in game? I think I'm gonna take let's start with the New Orleans Sacramento. Are you going to pick New Orleans or are you going to pick Sacramento? Sacramento going on the road.
I'm going to take New Orleans. No, New Orleans doesn't have
Zion.
Zion.
It's a road game, though.
Yeah, that's tough. You know what's weird? Sometimes when those dudes go out, like I need to dig into the numbers. You put me on a spot. I know we were talking about that, about like what they look like without Zion this year. But sometimes in like a one game scenario, like you subtract something like that, like BI can just go off or CJ could go up. I think I'm going to take Sacramento though. Just that's a huge piece of what they did this year. I'm going to take Sacramento.
Yeah, and Zion just destroyed Sac all season, and now he's not going to be in the lineup. It's crazy, man. I we're going to talk about Warriors, but that play-in victory was so impressive by Sacramento. They weren't playing well. Had to play up against Big Bro, who just beat him the year before in that way. The crowd was rocking. They lit the motherfucking beam. Like it was a very impressive display. We'll see what happens.
I'm taking Pelicans.
What?
I'm taking the Pelicans.
You just switched up.
I did. I mean, I would say, well,
why?
49.9 of like 50.1. I'm going to take. Yeah, because should look, I think.
Okay. Should we stay on to maybe you'll flip flop again? Like what?
No. I'm good. I mean, like eventually a team minus, you know, two of your better players, I think that catches up to you. And I did just say Zion's a huge part of what they do, and he is. But I think Malik Monk, like I think if you played that game over and over again with Golden State, I think more often than not Golden State would beat Sacramento. I think a lot of the reasons that you I think a lot of the reasons that you were just talking about, Big Brother and losing last year, I think in a one game scenario, I think that propelled them in a way
for sure
that got them over the hump. I don't know that they have the same juice. So I think the Pelicans.
I'm going to go with the Pelicans. The Kings just haven't been playing well. I mean, even that game aside and the emotion, I'm going to need the Kings in the way that they have finished their season to just prove it. And they haven't proven it enough to this stretch for me to pick them in a one game all on the road in this way. So yeah. I'm going to go with the, Pelicans.
Lighting the beam, like that energy in Sac is like, it's crazy energy. I can't, it's hard to put a, you know, put a price tag on that. So yeah, I'm with you, bro. I'm with you.
Yeah. OKC, are you trusting them going into the postseason, no matter who they play? I'm not even going to talk about the Bulls Heat matchup because, like, you're not tripping off of that. They're getting swept by the Celtics.
I certainly am not. Yeah, I like OKC going to the playoffs, man. I think, you know, sometimes you don't know what you don't know, right? Like, so everybody's saying they're inexperienced, and that's a thing. But there's some freedom in that too.
Yeah, let's see what we'll see what happens. That's the extent of our playoff preview. Before we get out of here, though, we have a segment we like to call Real One of the Week, in which we shout out a person, entity, and organization that won the week. You know what? It's been a slow week. We are gonna give our Real One of the Week to the Real Ones in general. How about that? Shout out to all the homies, everybody that hits me up, everybody that hits Raj up. We love y'all. We're here. And with that being said, realonesmailbag@gmail.com. 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 Make sure you tap in with us on Monday. We will talk to you guys really, really soon. Man, I'm giddy, bro. It's time for the playoffs. Let's fucking go, man. I'm about to be on my couch for like 12 hours straight. I can't wait. Let's do it. Let's go.
Let's go.
We're here. All right. See you guys Monday. All the shits. Bye. Let's see, 21 years and older, 18 years and older in D.C. and present in select states, FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with the Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, D.C., Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, and Vermont. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit KS Gambling Help in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit MD Gambling Help in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.